Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, it's Sunday, the 16th day of August, 2009. We're going to be live here for the next 2 hours today. Very important Sunday transmission lined up for you. We have a guest joining us coming up in the second hour who is an expert on global warming and is documenting that it is a plan to bring in world government, a eugenicist religion by an elite that hates the general population. So he will be joining us coming up. Ian Rutherford Plimmer will be joining us coming up in the final hour today. Of course, we have a syndicated transmission Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., and then we come back Sundays for 2 hours, 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, I'm going to spend 5-10 minutes on the whole Joker situation. It's got a lot bigger than I thought it would. My whole view on history is resistance is victory. If you've got the facts and you take action and stand up and believe in yourself, you can't be defeated. And if you have right on your side, there's no way you can be defeated. The elite know that if somebody takes action, they can affect change. That's why the social controllers, the social engineers, are always seeking to make people feel inadequate and powerless so that people will never even start standing up, or not just standing up to corruption, living their dreams, period. The establishment, the global architects want to be able to shape the future of the world. They want to play God. The Joker poster contest we launched about 8-9 days ago, I don't know, not last Monday when we launched it, it has just had a huge effect, and the posters have been put up with the image of Obama as the Joker in clown makeup with the words Infowars.com, socialism or fascism or New World Order. There's four different variants have been plastered all over Tokyo, Japan, San Francisco, California, Calcutta, India, Moscow, Russia, London, England, Quebec, Canada. I mean, hundreds of videos have come in. I'm spending hours every day. I'm not complaining, but it's hours I don't have watching these and realizing, my God, this radio show's got a lot of power because of you, the listeners, taking action. Also, people are very, very angry with Obama and the establishment and all of his lies. People were counting on him to not betray the people, and he's now clearly done that. So we're going to launch in the next few weeks some type of poster campaign telling people not to take the flu vaccine, or at least think twice about taking it, with a website, a simple web address under it that has some basic bullet points and facts on it. Because regardless of if you agree with the image or the message we put out, it's the idea of people getting involved, going out, breaking the controlled paradigm of just sitting inside, watching television, and politically rediscovering the spirit of 1776 of political activism. For 15 years leading up to the start of the revolution in this nation 230 plus years ago, the people put up broadsheets and posters and effigies of corrupt politicians. They built their numbers at a grassroots level. And this poster project, program, operation, shows what you can do putting up simple messages in your town. Because in an age of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act, as George Orwell said. The big news, though, on the police state, on the flu vaccine, it's all coming up.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Thank you for joining us as we blast out across the AM and FM dial, coast to coast, simulcasting worldwide on satellite, shortwave, and of course the internet at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Thank you so much for joining us. We have a geologist, a scientist, a researcher joining us from Australia next hour to expose how the private corporate world government is using environmentalism as the new religion, a way to inculcate eugenics into a world religion. He will be joining us in the next hour, and we'll have open phones later in this hour and into the second hour of this Sunday abbreviated transmission we do every Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, abbreviated from the weekday 4-hour broadcast. Okay, let me give you a rundown of the headlines, and I'm going to get into them. First off, we're going to cover what's happening with the flu and how it's being used to federalize and expand federal control, not just in the United States, but worldwide. It's being used as a tool of the police state when the evidence is conclusive that it's a very weak, pathetic flu, no big deal. Why then are they preparing mass graves, FEMA camps, checkpoints, forced inoculation here inside the United States? Now, we first discovered this was going on in January of this year. We gave you exclusive interviews with emergency managers, secret documents from the state of New York. People wanted to laugh at us. Now it's all mainstream news, so I thought I'd go over that. National Guard takes over school and swine flu vaccine riot drill. That's out of TV in Maine. Governors opposed to Department of Defense emergency powers. The National Governors Association has sent a letter to the DOD and White House saying they're concerned about martial law in America under the pretext of the flu. See, that's not Alex saying that 8 months ago. It's not Alex Jones or saying it 3 months ago. It's now the Governors Association. The Governors Association letterhead, the official governors of the country saying that. There's no more time to live in la-la land. Here's another one. Congressman Obama could use pandemic to declare martial law. Louisville Journal. Louisville, Kentucky. We'll go over that. Here's another one. Pentagon wants authority to post 400,000 Army and Marine Corps regular troops on the streets of America. This out of the Progressive. Directly from the Pentagon's own website announcement and Congress. It's really happening. So that's some of what we'll be going over today. Now, that's just politically what they're using the flu fear for. Here is what, and I'm going to go, again, more over this later. I just want to first give you the total picture that we're looking at here so you can make your decision here. I'm not telling you what to believe about all this. I'm telling you they're getting mass graves and martial law ready. You make your own decision about why all this is happening. Okay? Now, look at this Reuters headline. You know they're preparing as if the flu is the end of the world. And they've been setting up for decades the Homeland Security, NORTHCOM takeover you're now seeing. So right as the architecture is complete and this system is built, magically the flu appears and they're going to use it for that. And they're federalizing every city with the federalization, threat integration, fusion centers. I'm going to get into that later. Totally illegal, totally criminal, violation of 9th and 10th Amendment. It's all happening. All these decades of just huge Death Star level construction project. Trillions and trillions. Just massive technological terror of control and totally unconstitutional. A worldwide control grid built by MIT and the Pentagon. They all brag. Face scanning, tracking everywhere you go, license plate reading systems, federalizing everything. And now, right as they finish construction of it in the last 3 months, oh, the flu is here. We must have martial law to keep you safe. So that's another piece of the panoramic shot. Here's the rest of it. Reuters, is it safe? U.S. vaccine experts want to build trust. And then the article is how wonderful it is, how safe it is, how great it is, how good it is, how wonderful it is. Just take your shots. Vaccines are perfect. There's never any problems. And you hear the radio talk show hosts that are doctors and people up saying, a vaccine's never hurt anybody. It's only good for you. Everything's fine. Don't listen to people that tell you you shouldn't take shots. It's the law. You've got to take hundreds of vaccines when there is no law. So even if you agree with vaccines, you shouldn't agree with lying about it and saying it's the law. Now, let's go over news in the last 3 days. Now, I'm not even searching for this. This is stuff that's appeared on Drudge, pretty mainline. In the last 3 days, these headlines have come up without me even looking for it to discredit the flu vaccine. The current flu vaccine that the U.S. government's bought 195 million dosages of, and now they want to buy another couple hundred million so every American can have at least two shots. 300 million Americans. So they're talking about enough to give 300 million Americans three shots. So I guess that's 900 million injections, but they've so far taken delivery of 195 million 2 weeks ago. The next batch is ready in a few weeks. This is just from one company alone. Now, Reuters didn't feel like doing a Google search and telling you what we're about to tell you. Globe and Mail, swine flu jab linked to killer nerve disease. Leaked letter reveals concern over neurologist. Over 25 deaths in America. Now, you wonder why there's all these neurological degenerative diseases. People who are 25 getting Alzheimer's or getting all these other brain diseases. In the internal literature, they know it's the vaccines. The viruses in the vaccines, the cancer viruses, the chemicals, the RNA, the DNA from the dead fetuses and the dead monkeys and the dead dogs attacks the brain stem. In fact, I have the actual university and government reports. These are leaked. Just in trials in Texas, there's 25 dead. And that's with them covering it up. They whitewashed those numbers. Just like we knew Gardasil was killing massive amounts of people that took it in trials 3 years ago. And we would have the doctors and the families, the people who had their daughters die. You give your nine-year-old the shot, blood starts pouring out a day later of every orifice. I mean, they die of Ebola-like type disease. I mean, that's how it's described by the medical doctors we've had on. I mean, that's all we do here is go, oh, look, this is killing you. This is the Globe and Mail. Swine flu jab linked to killer nerve disease. Leaked letter reveals concern of neurologist over 25 deaths in America just in test of it. Okay, here's another one. This is without looking. This is Bild.de, the biggest paper in Germany. Biggest newspaper in Germany, does virus vaccine increase the risk of cancer? The swine flu vaccine has been hit by a new cancer fears after a German health expert gave a shock warning about its safety. Lung specialist Wolfgang Woodrug, we're getting him on, has said that there are many risks associated with the vaccine for the H1N1 virus. He gave grave reservations about the firm Norvadis, who are developing the vaccine and testing it in Germany. So that's Norvadis, N-O-V-A-R-T-I-S. That's the one they bought the 195 million shots from. The vaccination is injected with a very hot needle, the scientist said. The nutrient solution for the vaccine consists of cancerous cells from animals, and we do not know if there could be an allergic reaction. But more importantly, some people fear that the risk of cancer could be increased by injecting the cells. And then it goes on into all the major scientific institutes in Germany, the United States, and England that know this. Hundreds of millions of Americans, the federal government admits, got deadly cancers, mainly brain cancers, from the polio shot because it had live SV40. Don't believe me? Just search engine or Google or startpage.com is another good search engine. Just search engine the term polio vaccine SV40. You'll read U.S. government CDC from the 80s going, my God, we killed hundreds of millions of people from these cancers. We've got to keep this quiet. Same thing's in the news right here about how they've got to keep it quiet. So, by the way, none of this is by accident. This is eugenics. Here's another one. Polio surge in Nigeria after vaccine virus injections. That all over the world, third world people run from the UN. And they get caught putting HIV, putting polio, putting it in the shots. Because they're eugenicists. We have the White House science czar saying they're doing it. are back live. I'm going to open the phones up in the next half hour after the bottom of the hour news that's coming up. Toll-free number to join us, 888-201-2244, 888-201-2244. We'll get you up and on the air. Again, 888-201-2244. Give that number out three times because I know we just changed it to a new toll-free number when I moved into my regular studios here, but we're not using the Genesis phone system. We're taking these calls right here in the Texas studio, not the Minnesota studio or the Emma studio in Austin. Okay. Pointless trivia, but there you go. If you just joined us, you hear all these newscasts and read all these news articles. I just read one from Reuters. Is it safe? U.S. vaccine experts want to build trust. And they're like, what's wrong with the conspiracy theorist? Why don't people want to take the shots? You know, it's the law. You've got to take over 100 shots. When there is no law, you have to take any of it. But now they're trying to announce under executive orders forced inoculations during a level 6 pandemic, and that's under UN treaty. So we're under UN control. And then just in the last 3 days, I see these headlines. Swine flu jab linked to killer nerve disease. Leaked letters of doctors testing vaccine reveals concern of neurologist, that's brain scientist, over 25 deaths in America. Here's another one about how from Bild.de, the biggest paper in Germany, most respected, with top scientists and virologists saying it's killing people and it's got live cancer virus in it. By the way, there's a lot of cancer viruses that wouldn't hurt humans. It always, quote, accidentally gets in with these designer viruses that just so happen to ravage humans, but tend to burrow in, lodge their RNA, and be a chronic viral infection until certain hormone fluctuations associated with lower testosterone or lower estrogen, then they trigger and kill you. It's a Logan's Run situation. When you've served your usefulness, they activate, you die. So I guess go take your shot. The White House science czar just writes 1,100-page policy books about how they want to give you vaccines to sterilize you and get rid of you and euthanize you. And it's official United Nations Biological Diversity Assessment Treaty, 1996. And we covered all of my film Endgame. But just, you know, just ignore that. It's too horrifying to think they're doing this on purpose. I guess Bayer accidentally, with over a million ampules of factor 8, put HIV and hepatitis in it, though their court documents came out and show they did it on purpose. I guess it's accidental that all of this is happening. And here's the Associated Press. This is the Associated Press yesterday. Polio surge in Nigeria after vaccine virus mutates. And I see one of these every 2 or 3 weeks. I'll see in Africa. Oh, the polio shot happened to have HIV in it. Sorry. It was an accident. Oh, the polio shot happened to kill everybody or happened to get everybody sick. Or, oh, everybody went to the UN clinic got HIV. You got these countries where 40-something percent of the people have HIV, and then they'll go do medical tests on them, and some of these little girls have never had sex. They've never had anything but the UN shots. And then, oh, the UN gets caught adding hormones to tetanus shots to sterilize little girls. Oh, the Indian government got caught doing it under UN funding. Oh, the Brazilian government got caught. Oh, over and over again, they're adding it to the vaccines. But here's AP. Oh, just AP. And it's an accident, of course. Oh, but see, there's other talk show hosts and people I hear on the radio saying it's all lies. I've heard people call in to talk show hosts, you know, different medical doctors on the air and say, hey, Bayer Pharmaceutical knowingly did this. And the guy just says, no, they didn't. No, they didn't. Doesn't matter if, you know, we got MSNBC, Associated Press, Reuters. Or we'll say, hey, all these neurological diseases, Guillain-Barré's and all these countless others associated with the shots or conclusively proven to be the shots. And they'll just say, nope, no such thing with no proof. Well, here's the proof. Polio, a dreaded paralyzing disease stamped out in the industrialized world, is spreading in Nigeria despite efforts to stamp it out. And health officials say in some cases it's caused by the vaccine used to fight it. Yeah, in the 50s, the U.S. government, and I've had guests on about this, actually released polio. And then their cure was the shot that did protect you from polio, but then gave you a time delay cancer. Now, some people are resistant to it, but you wonder why you got 10-year-olds dying of cancer now left and right. Some of it's toxic waste and chemicals and things, but most of it is the official government plan. You know, you can go read the White House science czar how, you know, it's all for you and your family, you know. I know the football game's more important. You want to laugh at me and, oh, Alex Jones, they're setting up martial law. And, oh, Alex Jones says they're going to have the Pentagon take over America. I just said it 12 years ago because I had their own documents. And now they just announce it like it's no big deal. You better listen to me if you care about your family. I'm not risking my life here to play games with people. This is real. And all of you that serve the corrupt system, did you get the memo not to take the shots? Did you get the memo not to drink the tap water? Did you get the memo? No. Oh, that's also in the White House science czar, how to poison your water to sterilize you. And they do it. Not just sodium fluoride. Polio, a dreaded paralyzing disease stamped out in the industrialized world, is spreading. Well, it didn't really exist in the industrialized world until they spread it. But see, they create the crisis, offer the solution. They give you the cure for one poison they gave you, one bioweapon, and then give you another. Polio, a dreaded paralyzing disease stamped out in the industrialized world, is spreading in Nigeria despite efforts to stamp it out. Health officials say in some cases it's caused by the vaccine used to fight it. Oh, kind of like you take Gardasil and you have an autoimmune response. In almost every case, and then in other minority cases, you die. And in other cases, you just are paralyzed. I mean, I can play 60 Minutes pieces for you about it. How about the 76 shot that broke out on a military base? Then they had the swine flu already. And then they gave it to the public and killed thousands and thousands. The polio problem is just the latest challenge to global health authorities trying to convince wary citizens that vaccine can save them from the dreaded disease. For years, myths have abounded about vaccines, that they were the Western world's plan to sterilize Africans or give them AIDS. And now because Africans run and hide and won't take them, they're not getting HIV in those areas because it's in the shots. The sad polio reality fuels misguided fears and underscores the challenges authorities face using a flawed vaccine. So then they go on and admit, well, it is giving you polio, but it's a conspiracy theory that it's giving you polio. I mean, they'll have whole villages die in some, I mean, where almost everybody dies. God knows what they're giving them. I've had top virologists on. Ebola is a weaponized system created and given to the Africans. And then it just goes on. Now, as if that isn't bad enough, they tried to do HIV vaccine trials in Africa. They tried it in Asia. They tried it in Latin America. And the people there said, no way. They did a few limited tests, and it killed a lot of the people and associated. In fact, don't believe me. Just search engine the term. Patients die in AIDS vaccine trial. But now I have the AP in Chicago. They want to make the school kids take it because Americans will do anything they're told. They'll do anything. And so here we are. And then, of course, HIV will explode and then they'll run around and everybody will wear red ribbons and it's totally sick. We're going to come back, get into the martial law angle and take your calls. So I just gave you the Associated Press, German newspapers, British newspapers. That is just news the last few days about flu vaccine killing people, brain damaging people. And then you talk about it and local media will laugh at you like you're a conspiracy theorist because you know how to read the Associated Press. Very, very confusing. And I happen to know the polio shots that they still give people have live cancer virus that is communicable. That means even if you haven't taken the shot, you can spread it. Every major sewer supply in the world has had government studies and they like study to find it and are pleased by it, that every sewage system has the SV40 cancer virus in it and its mutation variants. So when we see them hyping up a couple hundred deaths in the U.S., less than 2,000 worldwide, when regular flu kills hundreds and hundreds, close to 500,000 a year, 37,000 a year on average, CDC numbers in the U.S., what's the big deal? I mean, if they've basically already shut down many areas of the world for a few thousand deaths, what's going to happen when thousands are dying in the United States compared to 37,000? People are going to be freaking out. People are going to be freaking out. And so the issue isn't the flu. The issue is the vaccine, what's in it. Or do they know it's going to mutate into something particularly deadly? It could. It could be an earlier version of an engineered virus. And top virologists we've interviewed here, and BBC has reported, and many others, that it is an engineered virus, that it was made in a lab. They know by its pedigree, by how it was designed, by the human, bird, and swine mixtures that are involved. What is it? Two parts human, one part swine, one part bird. So we have all of that going on. And the trials, they're keeping it very quiet that the trials are killing people. It's like Gardasil killed a bunch of people and they didn't care. Very, very strange. A warning that the new swine flu jab is linked to a deadly nerve disease has been sent by the government to senior neurologists in a confidential letter. The letter from the Health Protection Agency, the official body that oversees public health, has been leaked to the Mail on Sunday. This is the Mail on Sunday. Leading to demands to know why the information has not been given to the public before the vaccination of millions of people, including children, begins. It tells the neurologists that they must be alert for an increase in brain disorder called Guillain-Barré syndrome. And that's only the beginning, folks. I mean, this is... The U.S. government admits in multiple studies, and when I say hundreds, it's in the hundreds. I haven't counted them up. They know three flu shots on average doubles your chance of Alzheimer's. Why? The adjuvants alone that accelerate the autoimmune response cause brain swelling, cause basically poison ivy inside your skull. I mean, it's the same. That's what poison ivy is an autoimmune response. It swells up. It has inflammation. Your pancreas does. Other organs do. And it just fries you. It fries you. It's like taking a hard drive and throwing it up against the wall. You know, you're going to be lucky if that hard drive ever works again. And so you wonder why you go down the average American street and this 4-year-old's dying of cancer. This 10-year-old's dying. It's kind of like the parents wear the little ribbons. And yeah, it's what we do now. We have kids, so they die of cancer. Or they got tubes coming out and they're all on respirators. And it's like, yeah, the new thing in America is, you know, you go to a public school of a couple hundred kids and there's 20 of them dying of cancer. It's normal. Inject, inject, inject. Oh, the brain damage. It's wonderful. Don't listen to Alex. He's crazy. He just reads government documents where they admit they're doing it on purpose. It just freaks him out because he's actually normal. I'm normal, folks. It freaks me out. I read over and over again how they get caught putting HIV and polio and sterilants in the vaccines all over the world. I can type into a search engine right now for you, tetanus shot sterilization, and you'll get hundreds of mainstream news articles, documents, admissions. They did investigations, caught the UN doing it. It's a fact, okay? Psychos run everything. I promise to be calm. Just how are you calm? And you've got these gullible, poor, simple-minded people. I look at the public, and they just are like lambs to the slaughter. They're like people in Nazi Germany, the famous film footage of them being run into pits to be shot in the back of the head. They don't even fight back when they're being run into the pits. Well, not me. I'm fighting back. And if people would just wake up and stand up and say no to all this, it could end. The nightmare could end if you would admit it was going on. But just like Germans, you're in denial. And so fine. Okay, drink more tap water. Take more vaccines. I'm not saying there couldn't be good vaccines. I'm not saying there isn't acquired immunity. But it's been proven in the real studies that it's not even 50% acquired immunity, and it causes more problems than it answers, because they grow most vaccines on dead dogs, dead monkeys, and now that was the majority before. You can pull these numbers up. Now the majority of it's grown on dead babies. Thank God they're trying to move to caterpillar eggs. Don't ask me why that's where they grow them. It's what works. But this, and then they'll lie to you and say, oh, this is grown on eggs, egg yolks, egg whites. And that's technically true. But the seed virus or whatever they're going for is grown on the dead babies, mainly retinal tissue for some reason. And then that's taken and then grown on other things. I can't handle it anymore. In fact, people don't believe me right now. We're simulcasting at prisonplanet.tv. Search engine the term vaccines grown on fetal tissue. We'll give you an AP, a Reuters, a BBC. Because I understand you don't believe me. That's fine. So I went over all that. Now, we have this going on. I want to come back after the break and take your calls on this. What do you think now about part two? You know what's really in the vaccines. And this is not me trying to put on my evidence. This is nothing. This is nothing. This is like one thimble of a mountain of evidence. Oh, you know, I'm like scooping one thimble, and there's a mountain of evidence right there. Look, you just got to go down the rabbit hole for yourself, folks. You're not going to believe how deep it goes. We are living in a total fantasy land with psycho scientific engineers, eugenicists running everything, now moving into the final phase. And the public's all nihilistic, unhealthy, you know, degrading their bodies, just, you know, not even caring what happens next. It's all happening. Let's just play this, a little clip from this TV newscast in Maine, state of Maine. And this is, they frame it like it's a Christmas toy. And remember, it came out over a decade ago that big toy makers would even produce a Hollywood movie to promote a toy for Christmas and just to launch a toy. And that they would stage fights over the toy with local reporters they'd paid off to report on it, like women fighting over this doll or over this toy. Basic psychology. And they can make $500 billion in one toy. They said made almost $1 billion one Christmas just off a little bit of staged event. Now, that's what they're doing. There's so many facets to this story, but they're like, everyone wants to break in and get the vaccine. And they do these drills. We told you in January about secret drills of militias trying to kill troops in Indiana and get the vaccines. And I said, I think they're going to launch a flu thing in the fall because I was getting this intel confirmed. So then there's the whole subject of them training for martial law and training with the police. And they do this all over the country quietly. Now they're announcing it. And Governors Association's concerned, not just Alex Jones's interpretation. This is a fact. So here's that newscast. Music intro. Somebody posted it. All right, here it is. It's up on Infowars.com. Okay, we ran out of time. I wasn't looking at the clock right. Hit pause on that. When we come back, we'll come in from when the newscast starts. I wasn't watching the clock. I apologize. Stay with us. We're going to come back with this clip, get into the martial law, your phone calls, a lot more. Again, thank you for joining us. Okay, here's the newscast out of Maine. This is quietly going on in every town and city. They're putting in federal fusion centers to spy on you. This is taking the local police, putting them under federal control, showing them the face scanning cameras, the license plate reading cameras, the new Pentagon control arm. And then next, they're putting local regular army liaisons, not just National Guard, in all the major police departments, in the intelligence units, the U.S. Army, watching the American people. We were sent secret documents earlier this year that later made it in the Baltimore Sun. So, again, our story ended up breaking nationally and was confirmed that Ron Paul, myself, and others are watched by the U.S. Army. Because we're here telling you about the New World Order. See, the private banks have hijacked America. They also happen to be eugenicists. That's their hobby. And they're on power trips. And they're using the army to take over America. It happens in third world countries all the time. If we educate the military, though, they can't get away with it. So here's this newscast where they're selling the public that everybody's got to have the vaccine, that everybody wants the vaccine, that people are fighting to get in to get it, to create the idea that it actually helps you. Here it is.
In the town of South Paris, dozens of National Guard troops dressed in riot gear spent the day fighting off angry crowds desperately trying to get their hands on vaccinations against the H1N1 flu. At least that's what it all looked like. This was a drill, however, for guardsmen in the event of a swine flu pandemic. Steve Minnick has more from Oxford Hills High School.
Now what you see here is a situation these National Guardsmen and police hope they never have to deal with. But there is the possibility, since Oxford Hills High School is a dispensing point for the vaccination.
During riots, you know, hey, there's the medicine, we want it now. They're going to overwhelm the local PDs.
It's a what-if worst-case scenario. What if local police were not enough to quell crowds of people so panicked to get a flu shot they turn violent? Well, that is when they call in the National Guard.
We're treating every situation as it's actually happening. We try to train as we fight, we say in the military.
You guys be loud and boisterous. All right, cause some confusion.
This drill's designed to look and feel as realistic as possible.
Okay, that's
right,
enough.
Down to the actual...
Because I got to cover the rest of the news and get the calls. You can watch the whole video clip up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com right now. But the issue here is this is also a psyop for the troops. Troops have been refusing smallpox and anthrax shots. The military says, you've got to. You don't have rights. But then we educated the troops that it's an experimental shot. So they can't even force troops to take an experimental shot. So it's also meant to make the troops think it's something great everybody wants. I've been to FEMA camp drills where they practice confiscating your guns, taking your children, breaking up your families, putting you in death camps, basically. It's in my film Police Day 2000. And the Marines in that drill, the American people were begging to be let into the camp. See, they always, psychologists write all this up to make it so the troops are like, Americans want to be in camps. Now they're having Marines and Army, regular Marines, in Tennessee, California, all over the country. Mainstream news articles are up on our site. We've had state reps on from those states about it. The Marines set up random checkpoints searching people. And they say, oh, we're looking for drunk drivers. You're not for drunk driving, are you? When the local newspaper was like, doesn't that violate federal law? The Marines said, we'll do whatever we can to stop drunk drivers. Like Chief Art Acevedo will take your blood to stop it. And, oh, and now we got to be federalized to stop crime. And, again, it's all rationale and all an excuse as the United States goes into receivership. The good news is the people are waking up. The good news is the Governors Association, the Hill newspaper reports, the big D.C. paper, governors oppose DOD emergency powers. A bipartisan governors is opposing a new Defense Department proposal to handle natural and terrorism-related disasters, contending that the murky chain of command could lead to more problems. You actually read the letter. They say it's the end of posse comitatus, a takeover. In fact, Congressman Brown, who we're getting on next week, was even more specific. Obama could use pandemic to declare martial law. A letter sent by the National Governors Association to the Pentagon last week also echoed that. And he says, domestic emergency deployment may be just the first example of a series of expansions in presidential and military authority, or even an increase in domestic surveillance, warned Anna Christensen of the ACLU. They agreed. Here's what Congressman Brown said to the paper. They're trying to develop an environment where they can take over, he said. We've seen that historically. This is Congressman Brown, Ron Paul, Alex Jones, the Governors Association. It's real. And they're going to use the flu as their cover. Unless we expose them, then their program will stop. Ladies and gentlemen, every other country falls to tyranny. Russia, China, Germany. Germany was more democratic in many respects, more upright people. And look what happened to them with Hitler. All it takes is crises and a bad economy, and it's over. And ladies and gentlemen, they have White House enemy list. They say, tell us if anybody says things fishy about the president, report on your neighbors. And as if that isn't bad enough, the progressives reporting, the AP's reporting, but of course they're reporting it's good, the AP is. The Pentagon wants authority to post 400,000 military personnel in the U.S. The Pentagon has gone to Congress to grant the Secretary of Defense the authority to post 400,000. They already announced Homeland Brigades, 5 brigades, 20,000. But now, to, quote, engage and, quote, pull triggers on the American people. And see, I said I'd take your calls. We got a guest coming up. We're calling Australia, right? Why don't you just call him? It's early in the morning anyways for him. What is it, 5 in the morning? Just call him now and say we're going to call him 10 after. That way we can get to the calls, because there's no way I can cover all this and not jam in some calls. So I want to finish up with this martial law subject, then get into their global religion of eugenics and the cap and trade. Thank you, gentlemen. The Pentagon wants authority to post almost 400,000 military personnel in U.S. And this is Congress. Taken together, these reserve units would amount to more than 379,000 military personnel in thousands of communities across the United States. This, they want them deployed in your town. I mean, Red Dawn, troops standing around to make sure the Tea Parties and the American people, they knew you'd rebel against all this. So they've been building this architecture, saying it was for Al-Qaeda. Now they go, oh, no, DHS says it's for gun owners, conservatives, returning veterans. You're the number one threat. You are what Homeland Security are set up for. Do you understand the magnitude of what we're dealing with as a society? Folks, everything I told you was real. All these years. I mean, I would go interview the police chief of San Antonio where the Delta Force came and tried to bribe him in his office just to be friends and help him with covert ops. They were just there to make the deal so he would work with them in the future on narcotics trafficking. But he didn't go along with it. I don't think even the chief police knew that, but later that came out. Folks, the government is a criminal enterprise now. Wholly owned subsidiary of offshore banks. All right. I mean, I found out about this stuff in 98, 99. And people would laugh at me. This is real. This is real. The Governors Association, congressman, saying what I'm saying. What's happened is the governors are finally reading the John Warner Defense Authorization Act that states NORTHCOM's main job is suppressing state legislatures and governors. Yeah, Abraham Lincoln type stuff. But there's no excuse of ending slavery this time. So that's what's going on. And you notice Obama keeps calling himself Abraham Lincoln. Okay, I want to spend 2 minutes on the Joker situation. Then we're going to come back, take calls after the news on the martial law situation, the flu situation, and then get a expert on about the carbon tax. But I have never launched something this effective. I mean, I've made films that have been seen by 30, 40, 50 million people, depending on the film. We wrote the book on InfoWar, on going and taking over city hall meetings, county commissioner meetings, on guerrilla information warfare that you now see taking over the, you know, everything. It just made sense to us as the way to get the attention out was to get to news conferences, get to things, get the info out. And I'm very proud of that. But I've never had anything this fast, this successful. There have been in hundreds of cities, in some cases, thousands of Obama Joker posters put up by my listeners from that little contest. So I'll briefly, when we get back, tell you about that. And the incredible attack on the First Amendment dealing with this. The state of Florida now has the attorney general investigating. You know, they don't investigate the Florida CPS run by pedophiles on record. We have links to that up on InfoWars. All they're looking into is how evil. They're even saying it's bad to put it on a wooden post. But they didn't care about all the Obama signs when he told the Washington Post readers to post his image up on stop signs. Remember that during the campaign? We're not saying do anything uncivil. Our contest says do it in commons areas where other posters are. But they say no. You can post other posters, just not ours. People are standing up against it.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay. You know what I'm going to do at the end of the show? I'll give you the update on the Joker situation. It's just incredible. I mean, I've had videos from San Francisco, London, New York, where people are putting up 300, 400, 500, 1,000 of the posters in just great shots of it. Tokyo, Germany and Berlin, Moscow. Just incredible, listeners. And what happened is when the government came out in Claremont and said they were going to arrest whoever was putting them up, then people went even more wild in Claremont and put 10 times more up, the police have said. And now the police are kind of getting sensible and backing off because, at least they are for now, they say, well, now we're thinking it may be a First Amendment issue, but they shouldn't put it on mailboxes. And I agree. I told people they should, and people should stop that. They've kind of been doing it more aggressively now, and I've told people don't do that because that distracts from the message. But whatever. I mean, the Founding Fathers did a lot more than that. You know, the bigger issue is it's much worse to have $23.7 trillion stolen. It's much worse to have all these serious government crimes going on than to have the government then hypocritically obsessing over someone's putting signs up on telephone poles. It's so scary. And they say on the newscast, it should be illegal. The president looks scary. This is wrong. This is disrespectful. So the government looked crazy on the news and the few citizens they showed saying they were against it. And it turns out the vast majority of the public's for it. And so it's totally blown up in the government's face. I'm going to cover it at the end of the show. Let's go to Sam in Florida. Sam, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, Alex. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Welcome.
Just wanted to ask you just a real quick couple questions. One, I live in Orlando, Florida, and we're surrounded by water. And I was wondering, when martial law is declared, where would you run to first if you lived in the state of Florida? Two, I've taken my kids out of the Osceola County School District this year because we're not going to have our kids, given the vaccination shot. So they've been withdrawn. And I know that when my wife called the school to get them taken out of school, they said, geez, another one's being taken out? Why are you all withdrawing your kids? Well, duh, I wonder why.
Because we know the government's run by a bunch of criminals. That's why.
Okay, well, three, we went and posted the Obama pictures all over Orlando, over by Universal Studios, over by Disney, over by just all over Orlando. And on our last night, we got approached by an Orange County deputy who advised us that it's illegal to post our posters or any other posters anywhere in the county on any public telephone pole or
But he didn't give you a ticket, did he? He didn't give you a ticket, did you?
He did not, but the first thing he did...
Well, look, the issue... Here's the issue. Different towns allow it, some towns don't. That's why I said follow local laws. But if they selectively harass you when it's common law or common practice where you see hundreds of posters up and then you go put your poster up, then that's a fraud. But, you know, the point is the ninnying over it and the whining and the news saying, you know, I had two Spanish news stations, including a national one, call for my arrest saying it's racist. So the fact that they're telling us we're racist and trying to intimidate us and saying the poster itself is bad, that's why people are standing up and saying no. So follow the laws in your area. I certainly want to say that. But, you know, sometimes, you know, these little petty laws, too, are there to be ignored when you're talking about standing up against a tyranny. I mean, if we have martial law, they're going to say it's illegal to criticize the government. Well, that law is a fraud. You know, they had laws saying black people were slaves. And finally, blacks stood up and said, I'm not your property. I'm a human being. So, but I mean, what's your question?
Well, the question is, again, the first question, I guess I've actually answered my question, but the first question is, if you had a choice, is there a place to run to?
Let me say this. Obviously, a rural area where you're not close to people, if the flu outbreak turns out to be a real deadly virus, anywhere where you can stay, you know, 5-6 acres. We'll be right back.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We've got one of the most outspoken critics and scientists against the new religion of global warming and global carbon tax. That's coming up in the next segment. Let's continue with your phone calls here. Let's go ahead and talk to Ingrid in Nevada. Ingrid, you're on the air. Welcome worldwide.
Hello, Alex. I wanted to ask you something. My friend made some Obama chocobos yesterday, and they say wanted for bank robbery. What is your opinion on that?
I think it's pure genius. I think it's pure genius, and you've actually hit upon my next contest. I want to keep the Friday because I need more time to watch. I have to be fair and watch the literally hundreds of videos. I've watched a lot of them, but as fast as I watch them more coming into the inbox, they're just incredible. We've got to also get them all posted on one page or a group of pages so they load quickly. And the next
I watched a lot of them.
Awesome. The next contest is going to be for the best new term or slogan, and we're going to post different slogans, different people's Photoshop jokers of Obama. My graphics lady made an unbelievably good one of Bush. If people want to do that, this is bipartisan. We are exposing these puppets for what they are, but Obama is the big puppet right now that has the whole New World Order train hooked up to his engine. So we're and when they said 2 weeks ago it's racist and bad to put these up, I said put more of them up. Because it's a First Amendment, do it in legal and lawful areas. That's why we did the contest, because they were demonizing people, calling him a socialist, and MSNBC and CNN said it is the N-word to say socialist. No, Hitler was a national socialist. It's not the N-word to say Hugo Chavez is a socialist, or Obama wants to socialize healthcare. It's the truth. And so this politically correct assault on free speech, they know it's not racist to say socialist. They cold-bloodedly want to win their political takeover of 20% of the economy that's left the government doesn't control. But that's a great idea. The picture of Obama wanted for bank robbery. Great idea. Wanted for being a puppet of the New World Order.
Right on, Alex, and I'm going to help him put it out today.
All right, God bless you. Yeah, God bless you. Yeah, listen, folks, you don't have to put out our posters. You know, it's a First Amendment. The power of the people, not just going to town halls, but calling into talk radio, letters to the editor, starting blogs, commenting on comment pages, going out and standing on a street corner with a sign with a message, putting up little printouts with a message. We're going to do one against the flu shot about, you know, think twice, or, you know, flu shot causes brain damage. And then we'll have links under it to the Associated Press reporting on it. I mean, we want to warn. We're not going to just sit here and take it anymore. This is about standing up. Nick in Florida, you're on the air, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex, how you doing?
Good, buddy.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I'm really worried this fall about my son. He's 7, and I just dread picking him up from school, you know, and he tells me he got stuck with a shot or something, or that nasal injection, flu mist that they have.
Oh, man, that's the one. Those aerosolized ones do not let him have that.
Right. So basically, I just wanted to say, what physical response do you think Americans would have if that happens? Would that literally start riots, or
how outraged
would Americans be?
Yes. Now, notice the Army's training for us rioting wanting the shots. That's a psyop. They know, and they admit, the CDC does, it's going to be riots not wanting it. We've played these internal phone conferences the CDC's doing with different emergency managers where they're admitting that. They know the people don't want it. I mean, they know there's 20%, 30% that are total idiots and would walk into a gas chamber, you know, if they were told to, or run into a pit. You know, they could see Hitler lower down, but as long as the media said worship him, they'd put little mustaches on and start bowing down. But they know 60, 70% are awake now, and so they are planning to order compulsory shots in the fall, and they're going to use the captive audiences of the public schools and the captive audiences of government buildings and nurses and police and military and firemen. They're going to try to make first responders take it, but they already refused in 2002. Remember that with the Model States Health Emergency Powers Act? They want to make the enforcers do it first to make us, but police and firemen are already refusing across the country. Nurses unions are already refusing. So I see it kind of failing, but it's another beta test So next time we'll give in. See, they just keep trying and trying and gaining more ground each time. That's why instead of just sitting here taking it, we've got to launch our own InfoWar offensives to say no to their system. We've got to stop just defending. We've got to get offensive on them in the InfoWar and take back ground, which we've been doing. We've been doing it with federal court rulings on the Second Amendment and states' rights. We're on the march. The empire is on the run. But no, they're going to have a bunch of hysteria and tell you they're about to vaccinate them and, you know, try to get you to run in fear to go do it. In most schools, in some schools, they're going to do beta tests, and we've caught them in hospitals as well, giving newborn baby shots when the parents say no. So that's up to you, sir.
Okay, but I mean, do they have a legal right to just sneak and do it? Like, well,
No. And you need to send a letter to the school nurse and the principal or go in nicely and say, hey, look, I'm sure you've heard, you know, here's AP, here's, you know, the German news, the British news about brain damage, this shot brain damaging and killing people. I just wanted to educate you first. By the way, appreciate what you did with the school, blah, blah, blah. You know, be a politician about it. But then say, by the way, here's a letter. Put this in the file. My son is not to be vaccinated or given any other medical care, you know, without my consent. You understand? And that's already law. See, they're trying to set the precedent to ignore the law now. They're trying to create new precedent just to do whatever they want. Just like the eugenicist 90 years ago just started grabbing kids off the street and sterilizing them. They didn't have a law. They just created new fake courts and did it. And people then got mad in the 40s and said no. So they had to back off and just start doing it by other covert means, like the White House science czar says, by putting it in vaccines in the water. You understand?
Yeah, I got it. Thanks, Alex. God bless you.
God bless you. Yeah, I mean, with this government's history of giving black men syphilis through the shots and Tuskegee and radiating the Native Americans and radiating the troops and testing chemical weapons on our troops and all the things they've done, all the testing, all the foster children being radiated, you know, to death. With this whole history of this stuff going on, why would we trust anything the establishment says or does? Why would we take any shots they push on us? And, I mean, look at this here. I mean, I just read you the Mail on Sunday. Swine flu jab linked to killer nerve disease in test in the U.S. has killed over 25 people in test. And this is secretly going on, and the U.S. government is secretly telling doctors this is killing people, but keep it quiet. Keep giving them the shots. Killing people. Here's another one. Polio surge in Nigeria after vaccine virus mutates. AP, they admit the polio shots giving people polio. Here's Bild.de, biggest newspaper in Germany. Live cancer viruses in the vaccines. Look, whether you're for or against vaccines isn't the issue. The issue is these cloned stem cell line high-tech vaccines. It used to take 6 to 9 months to make a vaccine the old-fashioned way. Now they do it by cloning the virus. And then the stuff they breed it up in, the dead fetal tissue, the dead monkeys, the dead dogs, the dead humans, has got all these other viruses and RNA and DNA, and it gets all mixed in and is very, very serious. We're going to go to break and come back with our guest. We're very, very excited to have him on with us, joining us very early in the morning from the land down under. And we're going to get into a host of important issues dealing with global man-made climate change. If you believe in that, I've got a bridge I want to sell you on the moon. Global warming is the new religion of first world urban elites is the Vancouver Sun headline. That's a quote from our guest that's coming up after the break. Geologist Ian Plimer takes a contrary view, arguing that man-made climate change is a con trick perpetrated by environmentalists. But see, that's a con trick right there. It's not a contrarian view. 37,000 scientists a few months ago sent testimony to the Congress saying that man-made global warming is a fraud, that it's almost all sun-driven, and also ions from space form the nuclei for clouds, so just space radiation, and that the moons of Saturn and Jupiter were melting, now have refrozen, that the polar ice caps of Mars were getting smaller, now are getting bigger again. It's the sun. But see, they call that contrary. We're back live. Take a few phone calls for those that are holding, Steve, Bill, Ryan, and others, right at the end of this hour. But for most of this hour, we're joined by Ian Rutherford Plimer. He is an Australian geologist and an academic. He is a critic of the fact that they're claiming that global warming is man-made. And he has a book that's a bestseller on the issue, Heaven and Earth, Global Warming, The Missing Science. He is critical of the greenhouse gas politics and argues that extreme environmental changes are inevitable. Well, that's what the geological record shows. And so he joins us now from Australia very early in the morning. What, 5:30 in the morning, 5:20 in the morning?
It's now 5 minutes to eight inland Australia in the desert, where it's beautifully warm, not a cloud in the sky. We've just survived a massive dust storm.
Okay, good, good. Because, you know, the guys told me if I had you on the weekday show, it'd be 5 in the morning. That's why we're having you on Sunday, so it could be 8 in the morning. Well, Doctor, it's great to have you here with us. Break it down, the new religion. You know, the media tries to make fun of you for that, but in the Biological Diversity Assessment 96, in their own statements, they say this is a Gaia religion, don't they?
Well, very much so. And if we look back in the past, we've had massive climate changes. They have been extremely rapid. They've been driven by processes other than carbon dioxide. So if you want to ignore all of that and say, oh, no, no, just because we're living on Earth now, it's due to we humans, then you're really taking a religious view because you're ignoring all of the contrary evidence.
There's a lot of skeptics out there. If you were on, say, national television in the U.S. and had 5 minutes to boil it down, you know, just the basics for people, what would you say to them?
I would say look into the past. Look into what's happened in your life. And in this century, for the last 8 years, we've had cooling, yet carbon dioxide has been going up. If we look back 2,000 years, we can see it was very warm in Roman times and very warm in medieval times. It was about 5 degrees warmer. Sea level didn't rise. People didn't die. In fact, we had a thriving population. And the cold periods of the Dark Ages and the Little Ice Age are when we had massive depopulation, when people died like flies. If you look back further in time, in archaeological time, we can see that every time it's warmed up in one of these warming and cooling cycles, 800 years later, the carbon dioxide content of the atmosphere has risen. So there's absolutely no relationship. And if we look further back in time, we can see that we've had six great ice ages. Two of these were at sea level, at the equator, and five of the six had the atmospheric carbon dioxide content much, much higher, up to 1,000 times higher than now. So there is no relationship. No matter what time scale you look at, carbon dioxide is a two-bit player. It's a follower, but it doesn't drive climate change.
Doctor, from your research, have you found, because this is what I found, that the establishment knows carbon dioxide is part of the carbon cycle. We have sunlight, we have water, we have carbon dioxide, we have oxygen. You got to have that or there's no life on this planet.
Well,
that they cynically, that they cynically chose carbon dioxide as a way to tax and regulate all human activity.
Well, yes, very much so. It's a tax on thin air. And the governments have been trying to tax us for all sorts of things for a very long period of time. So now we're going to have a tax on cows farting and belching. We humans are having a tax on carbon dioxide. We're going to be taxed for everything. Ultimately, we will be taxed for how quickly our fingernails grow.
And that's not just you saying that. Under Obama's law he's trying to pass to get us lined up for this global treaty, they're now admitting it's going to tax sheep, cows, pigs, chickens, taxes on having more than one child.
Well, very much so. And in your country, your proposed cap and trade is actually fairly mild compared with what the government of Australia has tried to do. And their tax will send everyone broke. It will send all of the agricultural industries broke, the mining industries, the smelting industries, and the agricultural and manufacturing industries just will move to somewhere else. So this is a wonderful mechanism of increasing the bureaucracy, having more people in government counting everything we do and controlling our life. This is, I think, the ultimate aim of government, to control us.
It It really is a stroke of genius, though, when the Club of Rome back in the 60s first put forward the white papers to Western governments from Australia to Canada to the United States and England, Germany, to tax air. The current head of the Council on Foreign Relations, Richard N. Haass, wrote in 92 that it was the perfect thing to make humans the enemy and the state waging war against humanity. Very cold-blooded quotes by these people. When you researched them and wrote your book about them, you talk about how it's their religion. From your research, doctor, what is their religion at its foundations? My research really shows that it's a form of neo-eugenics.
Well, it's a form of religion, in my view, that has replaced failed Western socialism. It's replaced failed Western Christianity. It's a religion that's based out of the cities. It's an urban atheistic religion. These are people who claim that they're environmentalists, yet they have absolutely no contact whatsoever with nature. They never, ever go bush. They never plant crops. They don't know where their food comes from. They don't know where their electricity comes from. And they get all of their information off the internet or off a screen. So we have a total disconnect of these people who have the strong body of voting power. Governments listen to them. And those people based in basements in buildings all over the country are those who control what we should think, what we should eat, how much energy we should use. And I argue that these people are taking our freedoms from us.
Well, you're absolutely right. Have you heard about the recent book that got a lot of attention? It's actually a compendium or a government proposal white paper written with government and foundation funding, Ecoscience, by John P. Holdren, the White House science czar, that really admits that environmentalism is just eugenics and calls for a planetary government to reduce the population by 75% and calls for destroying the industrial base?
Yes, I'm very much aware of Holdren's work. Previous to his government position now, I'm very much aware of his views. And I think this is something we should be very, very careful about, because to embrace environmentalism is, in many ways, to actually keep the third world in its third world state, to keep people dying in the third world, to stop them using modern genetic engineering, to stop them using modern power systems. And we have to remember that half of the third world don't have running water and don't have electricity. And when we look at some of the other great political movements of the past, we saw the rise of National Socialism in Europe from a green movement. That's where it came from. It wasn't a right-wing movement at all. So there are some rather frightening parallels in history, and this is why I use a lot of history in my book that's recently come out, because we learn so much from history.
Absolutely. I have read large sections of your book, haven't gotten through all of it yet with time, but I have to say I learned a lot, but I also confirmed a lot of separate research I've done in my film Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement. That's exactly what I found. I thought I knew history about Hitler, but they don't really teach. He was a vegetarian environmentalist who believed he needed to kill the majority of the world to save the earth, all for racial hygiene. Our guest, Dr. Plimmer, straight ahead after this quick 3-minute break. After the news, InfoWars.com is the website. Dr. Ian Plimmer is our guest, and the new book is doing quite well. Very, very excited about that. Folks can get it at Amazon.com and different parts of the world. And we'll tell you more about the book before he leaves us in the final segment. But the book is Heaven and Earth, Global Warming, The Missing Science. Sir, I want to let you get into points you want to cover. I mean, I'm throwing out questions here, but you really are, more and more as I research this, one of the leading experts and also one of the most articulate and inform people on the whole spectrum of what this movement is, the tens of thousands of the scientists per country, the vast majority that say man-made global warming is a fraud and a sham. They mainly argue about the science all day, and you also go over that, but the political nature, the enslavement, the total controlling of the environment and all industry, the religious nature of it, it's really the religion of control freaks in my opinion. But I've got one question, and then I want to give you the floor and have you go over whatever facets you wish while we have you here today, and we're very thankful. When you go and debate them on TV and radio and print, how do they treat you before you go out on the stage and argue with them? Because it describes in some of these newspaper articles that they're actually very mad at you and saying that you're some type of heretic. And we see news articles not just calling for you to get in trouble, but for other people to be arrested or fined for climate denial. So we also see this Stalinistic attempt to silence free speech.
Well, I think that's a worldwide phenomenon. And worldwide, we are having the media, the newspapers, radio programs and environmentalists suggest that people should be arrested for having a contrary view. They are demonizing dissent. They are arguing that this view is against humanity. Yet no one wants to stand up in public and argue evidence with me. And my scientific view is married to evidence. It's not married to dogma.
Continue. Mr. Plimer?
Yes, I'm having real difficulty hearing you.
Well, you are, how many thousands of miles away are you from the middle of the United States? Is it 10,000, 12,000?
It would probably be 10,000 miles away. I can now hear you, so you must be shouting. Remember, I'm talking uphill. You're talking downhill.
Hey, it's a miracle. It's, you know, I'm still one of these guys that thinks it's neat to be able to put plates in a dishwasher. I'm somebody who still, you know, I mean, even though I'm pretty young, I enjoy the modern conveniences of a car or a lawnmower or high-tech things. So I'm very pleased that your phone sounds so good from Australia. But to continue, sir, along that line of thinking.
Well, I'm very pleased to be able to eat hot food, to be able to have a hot shower, to be able to keep my house air-conditioned in summertime, to keep it air-conditioned and warm in wintertime, to be able to travel by aeroplane or by car. Don't give me the good old days, because they weren't. And our modern environmental movement wants to get all of the information off television, which uses a huge amount of energy, yet they want to deny us a modern life. That, in my language, is hypocrisy. So don't give me the good old days. They weren't. It is not a sin to be wealthy. It's not a sin to be comfortable. It's not a sin to eat well. I think it is a sin to take away someone's employment, and this is where the environmental movement is going.
Well, as you said, Doctor, if you go back and look at the Royal Commission on Population 49, State Department Memorandum 200, it states that they, the Western powers, wanted to freeze the development of the third world as a part of a hegemonic domination. So whereas in the streets, the modern yuppie, it is a religion, they're disconnected from reality and fools, the progenitors of this carbon tax and carbon tyranny cold-bloodedly know that they're going to kill billions of people in the third world in the aggregate. They know it's going to freeze development. They know it is a vertical integration of the entire economy. I mean, have you ever had one of these guys admit that to you? Because you can read it in some of their books.
Well, they often argue about population as if it's a bad thing. The greatest and easiest way to reduce global population is to make everyone wealthy. And that means in the third world, you won't want to have 13 children, hoping that one will keep you alive in your old age. And I argue very strongly in the last chapter of my book, Heaven and Earth, that in fact, the current views of the environmental movement are actually those views of killing people. They get very uneasy when I challenge them on this point, and they have no solution to global population. They will never mention the word that is in their mind, and that is genocide. So I think we're dealing with some people who are chronically unbalanced, yet they have the power of the airwaves, and it's only a few conservative newspapers and television and radio networks that raise the contrary view and raise it fearlessly.
Now, tell us about the website bravenewclimate.com. Is that a good site to visit to read your material, Doctor?
Well, there's many sites out there. Brave New Climate is one of the numerous sites. I'm fairly reticent to look at websites and blog sites because most of them are not edited, and blogs often are done by by people who are a little bit unbalanced. I try to get my knowledge from reading literature that is refereed and has gone through the referee process. And we hear with this current global warming hysteria that there is no refereed literature out there saying the contrary view. Well, that's just rubbish. I have 2,311 footnotes in my book, Heaven and Earth. That is from the major literature like Science and Nature and the major journals. And if you dig deep into the scientific literature, there's a huge amount of contrary information. It just doesn't reach the airwaves. And the reason I put out the book, Heaven and Earth, was to start the debate and to give the average person the confidence that there is a huge amount of science out there that gives an absolutely and totally different view.
Well, Dr. Plimer, I'll tell you what shuts down your average yuppie who's part of the eugenics death cult known as modern environmentalism. I say, why were the ice caps on Mars getting smaller? And now that the sun has cooled off its activity the last few years, they're getting bigger again. Why are moons of Saturn and Jupiter that were frozen methane and other gases, why did they become liquid in areas? Is your SUV causing solar system-wide warming? And then you show them the evidence and they go, oh my gosh, obviously the sun is what heats things up, and the sun is a good thing. As you said during Roman times, kind of at the end of the last big warming period, was the Hyberian Maxim or whatever they call it, you had grapes being grown in central England when you can't grow them there today. I mean, warming is a good thing, but regardless, they're trying to list carbon dioxide as a toxic waste, and I found that most adults don't know that plants breathe carbon dioxide, Doctor.
Well, that's very much the case, and for thousands of years, various civilizations have known that the sun is the bringer of life. The Egyptians had their sun gods. The Mayans and other groups in Central and Southern America had their sun gods. We have known that the sun drives photosynthesis. This is the process where we take carbon dioxide out of the air and put it into plants. Those plants we ultimately eat. Carbon dioxide is not a toxin. It's not a poison. It's not a pollutant. It is the key to life. None of us want pollution of the atmosphere, the soils, and the waterways by particles and dangerous chemicals. But carbon dioxide is plant food. It drives the world. Now, we can see that. You gave examples from in our solar system of global warming driven by the sun. We can look at other stars outside our solar system and look at those planets. And we also see that there's a change in the amount of energy that these stars give out, and that this gives us global warming in other solar systems. So to me, it's absolutely bizarre that that great hot mass in the sky that we call the sun, that we ignore that as the driver of climate, because the sun has always been the driver of life and, of course, the driver of climate.
Doctor, have you ever thought of the angle that there's a lot of serious environmental stuff that is going on, as you just said, a lot of toxic waste dumping, pollution, things like that, but that by making the whole environmental movement about carbon, it actually becomes a distraction from real environmental problems we have?
Oh, very much so. Look, it's put back the real environmental problems by at least 50 years, and that kills people.
Absolutely. Wow. Well, let's come back and talk more about the book and more about Hitler, the first big environmentalist. Stay with us. Final segment, Jason Burmes for the next 3 hours when the show ends in about 10 minutes. He's going to be in studio here for 3 hours, and I'm going to be in the last 30 minutes or so with him. I never got into our Joker contest, the huge success of putting up these Obama posters everywhere. It's made Fox News, Associated Press. They're putting them up in Tokyo, Japan, Los Angeles, California. It's crazy, but Jason Burmes has got Webster Griffin Tarpley, The Economist, on with him about the socialist government takeover of healthcare and the eugenicist Holdren. We're still on that coming up when this show ends. If your local station doesn't carry the show, it should, the Jason Burmes InfoWarrior program. But you can all listen at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com. Okay, we got about 10 minutes left here in the show with Dr. Ian Plimer. Doctor, you talked about Hitler the environmentalist, Hitler who had to clean the earth of the scourge of humanity. And we see all these other scientists and people and Ted Turner and Prince Philip. If you go to an elite cocktail party, you know, with even elite academia, this is, they walk up and say, what do you think about the people bomb? I mean, when I was going to college, that was happening. Even the wannabe elites are into this. This really is their control freak religion. Can you elaborate more about what you discovered, what you cover in your book about their mindset? And then finally, we're beginning to gain ground, it appears to me, against them. And they are starting to throw fits and get more and more aggressive. How do you see them trying to shut us up? And how do you see this battle playing out?
Well, it was interesting. Your opening piece of music there was from Wagner. Now, Richard Wagner was Hitler's great hero. And Wagner was involved in the 1848 revolution in Europe. He was actually banned. He was actually involved in a revolution against government. And that led to massive immigration of the intellectuals from Europe to countries like the United States, to Australia. Europe lost its great people due to that revolution that Wagner was in. And yet Hitler used Wagner, who had totally different ideas, as his hero. And the interesting thing was that Hitler was also a vegetarian. And when we look back in the geological record, we've had human evolution has been very much driven by climate. And every time the climate has got cold, the vegetarians have become extinct. So there is a God in heaven after all. So we see some very interesting parallels. And we see many, many totalitarian governments that have views based on the environment. In China, we had Mao Zedong's views, where we had community health, which was driven by government, where we had community environmental programs. So we've seen this throughout history. Hitler wasn't the only one. We've seen it in the Soviet Union, where they took one line of science from Lysenko, who claimed that, oh no, we can't have genetics operating because this means it's rather like a capitalist system. So he invented a type of genetics which created starvation, and about 30 million people died. And I was in the Soviet Union in 1977. I drove across from the northern part of the Soviet Union into Finland, exactly the same climate, exactly the same soils, but the wheat was about three times higher in Finland. So we've seen this many, many times before. People trying to put a political spin on the way in which we think, the way in which we eat, and the way in which we travel. So I think we are gaining considerable ground, and as I predicted in the last chapter in Heaven and Earth, that as soon as we start to bring up argument for which there's no answer, people attack us. So I've had merciless attacking by newspapers, by the BBC, by the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. They keep attacking me, but they don't argue the science. And as for going to elite cocktail parties, I have much better things to do with my time.
Well, by elite cocktail parties, any time I was in college, any time I've been around wealthy people, any time I've read any of their, it's all they seem to talk about. Is how they want to get rid of people and how the general public are rabble scum and how the earth is dying and the people bomb. I mean, in college, didn't matter if it was math class, history class, psychology, anthropology. Every professor I had, except for an art class I took, came in during the school and said, there's too many people, we've got to have one-child policies.
And very much so. And I mean, this is why I'm spending a weekend here in a mining town. This is a mining town in the middle of the desert. These are real people. They can think, they're not stupid, and they're getting treated by the government as being stupid. They're getting treated by academics and scientists as being stupid. I really enjoy being in rural areas, agricultural areas, and mining areas, because these are the real people, and these are feeling totally disenfranchised by the arrogance coming out of many of the college professors, the arrogance of government.
Doctor, going back to Mao Zedong, in fact, his Cultural Revolution, Great Leap Forward, it was eugenics-based, and then in the mid-70s, the United States and the UN and England funded China to set up the one-child policy. And if people have noticed, China is now embracing the selective carbon taxes, and people are shocked by that. How is the establishment able to sell this to the Chinese communist? Or is it just that communism believes in this vertical integration, so they like it because it's a pretext to take control?
Well, in China, for thousands of years, it's been a centrally controlled empire. We can't use the word government and China in the one sentence. And that control is on everything. What you plant, where, how many children you have, and the way you think. Now, the Chinese government is embracing carbon and carbon trading, which they will never put into practice. And the reason for that is that the great beneficiary of all of the carbon cap and trade, carbon trading, the great beneficiary is going to be China. We are basically going to be shifting huge amounts of money from the Western world into China. That's why they're saying they embrace it. And we are doing so many stupid things that the Chinese must be laughing. For example, we've had Earth Hour. For an hour on this planet, a billion people turned off their lights. But the power stations had to keep ticking over. And what happened was that these people were thinking, no, we'll put less carbon dioxide into the atmosphere in that hour. What they did was their decrease in carbon dioxide in the atmosphere was equivalent to 6 seconds of China's emissions into the atmosphere. So we're seeing these religious exercises in futility. We are giving all the power, all the trade, all the wealth to China.
Well, Doctor, you just said it. They know it's a ritual to use the paper bag. They know, or the cloth bag. They know it's a ritual to have you submit to them. Just like it's a ritual to take your shoes off and be searched at the airport to be trained to be a slave. Enron got caught turning the power off a few hours a day in California. Their internal documents came out saying if we turn the power off, they'll accept a tripling in power cost. We're creating artificial scarcity. And so these social engineers cold-bloodedly know making everybody turn their lights off or turning the Eiffel Tower off is a symbol. It's a mind control. It's a Jim Jones programming that energy is bad and living is bad and having something is bad. And so you can give it to the government. And then all the promoters of the environmental cult, they have 4 or 5 kids, 10, 15 jet airplanes, palaces. Their carbon footprints are bigger than anybody's.
Well, very much so. And I think governments really have to understand that energy drives the economy. The more energy we have, the cheaper the economy becomes. The more energy we have, the more jobs we create. If we add costs to energy, we are putting people out of work. And if they're out of work, we can control them even more. And it only then becomes the elite who have a lot of money or those few people lucky enough to have a job that keep the wheels of the economy spinning. But I see that this is a process where we've got massive healthcare costs, where we've got controls on the way we think, the way we write. This is just another way of putting handcuffs on us.
Well, I hope to have you back up sometime during the weekday show so that audience can hear you, Doctor. Just
thank
amazing.
You,
the book is Heaven and Earth, Global Warming, the Missing Science. In closing, they do appear to be now, their facade of invincibility is breaking. Their hoax is beginning to be exposed, but they've got the governments behind them, so I think the fight is just beginning. I would just hope that you and other prominent people, as you've been doing, would just dispense with even arguing with these people and say, look, we know you're elitist control freak eugenicist and that you just want to kill the majority of the planet, because we have the hundreds of quotes from them. I mean, I think it's really time to even turn the heat up on these bastards even more.
Well, I agree. And they talk about opening their mind. My problem is that they've opened their brains so much that the brains have fallen out.
All right. Dr. Plimer, thank you so much for spending time with us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you as you begin your day there in beautiful Australia. Take care. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
All right. There he goes, ladies and gentlemen. You can get all of my books and films and materials and my film Endgame about all this, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, on DVD at Infowars.com, and the Obama Joker t-shirts that Big Brother really hates. I want to salute everybody out there for the great job they've done, and my crew. Jason Burma's coming up.